Can I have all y'all stand up? Happy Sunday. There was no football today, so everybody's focused on the Lord. Okay, next week is Super Bowl. How many of y'all got Seattle? How many of y'all got the Jets? How many of y'all got the Patriots? How many of y'all don't care? Lord Jesus, we just pray for, Lord, thank you for that third group. Lord, we thank you that at the end of the day, you have won the Super Bowl. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Pray you challenge us today. Pray you speak to us today. Thank you for everybody that's here. Thank you for all the people, all the campuses watching. We welcome you. All the campuses, all throughout San Diego, El Cajon, San Marcos, Chula Vista, City Heights, and Oahu. We just thank you for all of y'all and everybody watching online, and we just pray you bless everyone in Jesus' name. Amen. Give someone a big hug, a high five. One quick announcement before we start. Next week is the last week for our City Heights campus to be in their location. And they've been several years. The lease is running out. They're moving to Hoover High School, which is actually a bigger and nicer place. So they're still going to be there March 8th. They're going to move into City Heights. We want everybody to know. And we've been in that location for a while. But God has opened up another door, and the lease ran out. So we had to move. So we just want to keep you all posted. And God bless y'all, City Heights. God loves y'all. Let's keep ministering. Amen. Come on. Come on. Come on. Turn to Exodus chapter 3, the second book of the Bible. Everyone say Exodus. Exodus. Say exit from Egypt. That is the theme of that book. Three weeks ago, we took a survey. We asked all of y'all about your experience here on Sunday. We got 3,000 people with a respond, which was fabulous, so thank you very much. And we had a lot of great comments, but what we were looking for, we got, which was all the opportunities for improvement. And so we want to go over that a little bit today, and really the whole service is about responding to that. We had comments about, as a matter of fact, I'm going to read some to you. Now, what we're going to do is create systems to address your concerns and the opportunities that we can get better for you, because we want to know how we can serve you better. But we're going to need people to actually do it, which is what we're going to talk about today, is signing you up. Now, let me calibrate what church is about, because some people, and I don't mean some people in y'all, maybe some of y'all, but in other churches, people think, I come to church and I'm a consumer, and you guys do the work and I receive. Okay? But really what church is, the big C church is the family, we are all connected to Christ, and we're all connected to him as the head, and we serve him. Can I get amen? Amen. And what Jesus came to do was to seek and save the lost. That's what he came to do. He didn't come to do Bible study. Bible study is a means to an end. Church is a means to an end. So this is part of the process, but all of us belong to Christ, and Christ says, I want to go out and seek and save the lost, because before the church, before y'all got saved, y'all were out there, and someone reached you, and now you're here. Does that make sense? And so now we're supposed to go out there. And the reason I say that is that as our Christian culture has developed, it has developed a mindset. I'm not talking about The Rock. I'm not talking about you. But our culture in the United States, especially in the United States, other countries are very different. We're consumers. So we come here and say, do I like this? Do I like that? Do I like this? Because all I want to do is sit and receive. That's not biblical. What's biblical is that we all give our life to Christ, we surrender our life to Christ, and we say to Jesus, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to change? What do you want me to be? Because it's all about him. So what we're going to do is say, hey, look, we want to serve San Diego. There's 3 million something in San Diego. A lot of them don't know Christ. We want to get as many of them saved so they can know God, grow in community, make a difference, which is our mission statement, and we all need to do it together. Does that make sense? So what we're going to talk about today is some of the sticking points about people. Well, I'll read some of them to you. Parking and arrival, confusion and flow, hard to find where to go, arrival stress, connections and pathway and follow-up. How do I get connected? How do I join a group? These are comments that you had, legitimate. Clarity on next steps, follow-up, rock kids. The classes are full, there's not enough volunteers, team members, all that's legit. Great. I want more Bible study, I wanna learn more, I wanna grow more. Fabulous. So what we're gonna do is develop systems for those, but we need people. We need people to serve. And so we're gonna ask you at the end of the service and all the campuses to go sign up and serve. Ideally, we would have you serve every other week or twice a month, not every week, so we can have people get a break. But we need more people. And we need people when you sign up to show up. So we'll sign up these many people go to the first meeting, and then week to week we have these many people. And then people will say, I'm coming next week, and they'll show up. So that's why we got to sign up more people. Are you following what I'm saying? And so right real quick, how many of y'all in all the campuses, raise your hand, how many of you do not serve someplace right now? Raise your hand really high. Okay, listen. Elbow above the ear. How about that? How about that? Here we go. Look around the room. Okay, some of y'all aren't raising your hand. I know you don't serve, okay? So I want you to think, if you really want to grow in your faith, serve. If you really want to learn, teach. Okay? One of the things we're going to do on Sunday, we're starting an apologetic series in 2 weeks, and we're going to do many topics. One is truth and morality. A lot of y'all have probably think, you know, my truth is my truth. No, we're going to talk about that. Is your truth legit, or is there an objective moral truth that is absolute for everyone in the world at all times? We're going to talk about Islam. We're going to talk about other religions. We're going to talk about science and evolution. All those kinds of things that will help you be strong in your faith. And we're going to give you resource pages where you can get more information for your own personal study. However, if you are mature and you've been walking with God, it'd be great for you to take all that knowledge and your maturity and go mentor someone in the church to grow. That's what you're supposed to do with it, by the way, is to go help someone else. So we're going to talk about all that stuff, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to sign up. Our goal is to sign up about 1,000 people over the next couple weeks. That'd be ideally people who show up, okay? So we want to encourage you to sign up. Here are the topics, and I want you to be thinking about this, and after you go out after service on all the campuses, you can go to the table, hit the QR code then as well, and it'll tell you all these things. Number one, prayer team, love praying faithfully, compassionately. Going down, portability, you love setting stuff up. We got set up and breakdown on all the campuses. Production team, light, sound, video, love to get you to, if you want to learn and do that. Safety team, if you want to be the church muscle, okay, you could do that. But we don't want any muscle. We just want someone who's going to be sensitive to what's going on. Worship team, choir, if you think you could sing. Now, there's some people who think they could sing and you can't, okay? You just can't sing. You just can't sing, okay? So before you sign up, ask somebody just their opinion. So, when I was in high school, I was in a musical, and in a musical you got to sing. I can't sing, and we had a scene. It was called Guys and Dolls, and it was 12 guys on the front of the stage. We were singing, and so we're singing. True story. And then the conductor, the guy from school, he said, "You six, stop singing. You six, take it from the top," because he was noticing there was something off. It was me. I could have saved him the hassle, but I wanted to see how good he was going to be. So we da da da, and he said, ha, "Stop! You three, the six of us. You three over here, stop. You three, me being one of those three, take it from the top. Da da da." And then he pointed right at me and he says, "You, don't sing. You two, take it from the top." He said, "Okay, from now on, you don't sing." Literally, that's what happened. So we don't want to have to do that to y'all. So just worship choir. youth team, if you all ever working with kids. Baptism, love supporting people in life-changing moments, help organize baptisms. Hospitality team, you love being hospitable. If you're grumpy, do not sign up for the hospitality team. How many of y'all been to customer service and are like, "Can I help you?" Girl, I've literally been to that at the airport, and I literally said, "Girl, how you doing? Why you got this job? For real, come on, let me pray for you." Hospitality Cafe, Love Serving Coffee, Rock Kids Team, Life Class, Onboarding. Hey, signing people up. You love administration. We need you, okay? So those are the areas I want to talk to you today about motivating you to do that. So if you walk to the car today and you don't sign up, be like, man, I got to do something. You're not called to do everything. You're not called to do nothing. You're called to do something. Say, do something. Do something. Okay? You know what Jesus did for you? He died. Okay? If you want to grow in your faith, do something. Okay? I'll say this last time we get into the Bible. You're never going to grow to the point where you could by just sitting in here. This is not designed for that. It's just not. It's not. It's impossible. You have to get out there and get dirty a little bit. And that's where you grow. Okay? Okay. Exodus chapter 3. There was a man named Abraham. Everyone say Abraham. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Jacob had 12 sons. And a group of his sons, 10 of them, sold one of their other brothers, Joseph, into slavery. He was taken to Egypt. And in Egypt, he was put in prison because some woman accused him of Joseph trying to get with him. And he's like, I don't want to have nothing to do with you. She grabbed his cloak and his coat and said, here, he tried to rape me. And then he got put in prison. He was wrongfully accused, blah, 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 blah. He ends up interpreting a dream. He ends up working for Pharaoh and running the whole country's food supply because there was a famine. Meanwhile, his family is back in Canaan, and they are going through famine, and they come to Egypt, and then 70 people end up moving to Egypt. They turn to 2 million people, and they are enslaved by Pharaoh. One of those slaves was Moses. Moses was born. There was an edict to kill all the male babies. Moses was born. He was saved, and he was raised in Pharaoh's home as he was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. So he was raised in Pharaoh's home. He was educated by the Egyptians. At 40 years old, Moses kills an Egyptian. And then he gets found out, so he runs as a fugitive out into the wilderness, and he lives there for 40 more years. At 80 years old, say 80. 80. This is when God called him into ministry. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of y'all are 80? Anybody? You're 80? God bless you, sir. I'm sorry? You got, are you 80? Yes. Oh, no, I ain't got no problem, bro. I ain't got no problem. He's from New York, so he's teasing me because he says, you got a problem. He says, you got a problem with that. There's one brother in here, 80. That means that if you're not 80, you ain't ready yet for what God has. At 80, God calls him, and God's going to have a conversation with Moses. And in this conversation, God's going to call Moses to go back to Pharaoh and back to Egypt to deliver the people. And Moses is going to give God 5 excuses why he won't do it. And for each excuse, God is going to give him a reason why that excuse holds no water with God. It don't make any sense. It's fear-based excuses that the devil put in Moses' head. And God says, I don't even want to hear it. And every excuse was based on Moses' self-perception of his ability to do what God called him to do. And every response is based on God's self-perception of his power. Because it ain't about you. Say it ain't about me. Now, we're asking you not to go back to Pharaoh and deliver 2 million people and risk your life. We're asking you to pour some coffee for somebody. Sign somebody up. Watch some kids. Are you following what I'm saying? Because we can't do what God's called us to do with just a few people. It's going to take a village. Amen? Amen. So number one, Moses' fear was, I am not enough. I'm not enough. Who am I? Jehovah promised his presence. Look, let's read. Exodus 3, 1 to 12. Moses was tending flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Oreb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. He said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he's afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. and I know their sorrows. Everyone say with me out loud, say seen, say heard, say no. God has seen, he has heard, he knows your sorrow and your pain and your cries. So I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up to a land that is good and large, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, and the mosquito bite. Now, when God says milk and honey, milk you can't have unless you have grass for animals to graze. Honey you can't have unless you have a bee and a flower and a plant. So God is saying, I'm bringing you to a land where you can grow stuff, you can farm, and you can have animals. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel have come to me, and I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel out of Egypt. So what he's telling them to do is, you're a fugitive, you killed somebody, they've been looking for you, probably even those people, probably people are dead, it's been 40 years, but still, you know the power of the Egyptians. You know the education, you know how big it is, you know how violent they are, and I want you to go back by yourself, and I want you to tell Pharaoh, let my people, his 2 million slaves, his workforce, to go for free. That ain't happening. And Moses is like, okay, God, let's talk about this. Number one, here's what he says. Behold, Moses says, who am I? Everyone say, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? I'm just one guy. And that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. How am I going to do that? Now, understand this. He has a legitimate point. He is nobody. He's an 80-year-old fugitive. He's been a shepherd for 40 years. He's been out of the game, out of the culture. And God is still calling him. God is not calling you based on who you are. I am not the pastor because of who I am. God didn't call me because I was this holy guy. You ever see that commercial? I think it was Chex, the cereal. And it was three brothers, and the youngest was Mikey. And the two brothers were trying to figure out who's going to try this cereal first, and they didn't want to test it. Because, you know, mom bought it, but they didn't want to eat it. And they said, let's get Mikey to do it. And Mikey will eat anything. And Mikey ate that bad boy. He's like, and you know, God, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, looking to show himself strong on behalf of anybody who will be loyal. He's like, if I could just get a body that can represent me, whether you talk good or not, whether you're intelligent or not. He just wants someone that's available for the job he has for you. So when we go ask you to sign up to serve something, listen, it ain't because of you. It's God. Look what he says. He says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he says, I will be with you. He says, Moses, this is not really about your talent, because I agree, you ain't nobody. You know why that's good? It ain't all on you. I'll give you a little confession. Last week we had Miracle Sunday, and we kept saying, Miracle Sunday, Miracle. And I had it in my head, you got to produce a miracle. You got to make sure people experience the Miracle Sunday. And I'm like, I can't do that. And I felt this pressure, like the devil's like, how are you going to do that? You can't make a miracle. What are you going to do? Da, 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 da. And I'm like, I can't. And I had to finally say, well, I can't do a miracle. That's not on me. But you get that head game that the devil plays in your head. And you have to realize it ain't about you. If God calls you to do something, just show up and watch what God does. He says, I will be with you. And this shall be the sign that I have sent you when you have brought the people out of Egypt. You shall serve God on this mountain. God is calling you into a divine companionship and partnership to do something for the kingdom. That's all it is. It's not about God saying to you, go do it and let's see what happens. He wants to go with you, to partner with you, to do something amazing through your life. Number two, Moses' fear. I don't know enough. In other words, who are you? First is, who am I, but who are you? So Jehovah revealed his identity. Verse 13. So Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say, what is his name? So first it was, who am I? Then it was, who are you? And he says, God said to Moses, I am that I am. Ladies, I want you to imagine you're single and you're in the grocery store and your curlers and your robe and your slippers, no makeup, you had to go get some milk because you know the baby was crying and you just couldn't have time to get all your mascara on and all that kind of stuff. And you go and this man is walking down the aisle. And he's just like all that. And he goes, how you doing? And you swing your head around, a curler falls out, and he's like, this is not your day. He says, what's your name? And you go, oh, my name is Mary. And you say to him, what is your name? And he goes, I am that I am. He says, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me. Moreover, the God said to Moses, you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. God's name is not really necessarily only what they call him. It is what he is, eternal. I want you to think of the universe as this basketball. And I say basketball, that everything we know of in the universe is in a basketball. We're outside of the basketball, just for simplicity's sake. And the basketball is expanding at the speed of light, which is what's happening right now. The universe is being expanded at the speed of light. By the way, 1,000 years before they discovered that, the Bible says that God stretches the heavens like a curtain. So the universe is expanding at the speed of light. What science does, chemistry, biology, physics, astrophysics, cosmology, what science does is discover how the universe functions. Science doesn't cause anything to happen. It discovers how it happens. And so when they look at the universe, they discovered that there was a beginning. They call it the Big Bang. There was a beginning. The first verse of the Bible says so, long before they discovered it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The law of causality, which is a scientific law, says anything that has a beginning has to have a beginner because nothing can cause itself. And so the universe, as expanding at the speed of light, had a beginner. Now, the study of ontology is the study of reality or existence. It studies the nature of existence, being. Some things are physical, some things are liquid, some things are gas, but there's a term called a contingent being, which means that something exists, but it was dependent on something else. My existence is contingent on me having parents. I had to have a mother and father. There's no other way I could have been here. So I am a contingent being I am dependent on the existence of my parents. My parents are a necessary being as far as it comes to me, because if my parents weren't there, I wouldn't be there. So there's contingent beings and necessary beings. When you look at the universe is contingent on some necessary being, but that necessary being could not have been created because nothing in the universe can create itself. It had to be something that's uncreated. That's God. So when people look at the universe, they say something started it, but it had to be something that wasn't started. It had to be something that is uncreated. Well, come on, you guys. I hope you follow me on this one now. And by the way, this is what science, the Bible says in Romans 1:20, that since the beginning of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen when we look at what he made. So when we study what we made, we say something started all this, but whatever started with all that wasn't started itself. It had to be independently existing. That's God. I am that I am. Also, it had to be creative because the universe is creative. So it had to be independently creative. It's loving. The universe is a loving place because we have a place where we can live. So whatever created the universe, and especially the earth, had to be the standard of love. There, we all understand there is moral laws that we all live by. Whatever created that morality had to exist as the necessary supreme level of morality. And so all those are God. So when God says, I am that I am, he says, nothing created me, nothing can destroy me. I depend on nothing. I independently exist as the most necessary supreme being there ever is anywhere. Amen? Come on, somebody. So when God says, I am that I am, he is saying, I am everything that you could ever need. And I can never not be everything you ever need. And you are limited. So when I call you to do something, I am not trusting and depending on you for everything. That's me. When I was 8, 9 years old, my father took me on surveillance. He was a New York City police officer, and he took me to Brooklyn to do surveillance. I was 8, 9 years old. He said, go down the street. I want you to look. I never forget it. You remember things that are traumatic. It was traumatic. I want you to go down the street, and there's a brownstone. Those are like row houses, if you will. And on the number is 23. I want you to go to number 23, and I want you to tell me, is there a guy standing there in a red shirt? All these facts are from when I was 8. And I was like, but, you know, I look like a little Puerto Rican kid. I figure I fit in, no problem. I walk down the street, and the guy was there. And I'm like, But I knew my dad was in that car, and I knew he had a gun, and I knew he had a badge, and I knew he had a radio for help. I'm good. All I gotta do is tell him there's a guy in a red shirt. That's it. All God wants you to do is what he asks you to do. I talk, the Holy Spirit does stuff in your heart, and I'm just the middleman. But really, God's doing the work. And so when you say, who are you? Nobody's special. I mean, special in the sense he died for you, but you know what the spiritual work God wants to do is way beyond our natural talents. Who is he? Everything. Next one, he says, what if they don't believe me? What if I tell them I talk to you and they don't believe me? Jehovah supplied his power. Chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it to the ground. And he cast it to the ground and became a serpent, and Moses fled. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand, and it became a rod again. That they may believe that the Lord, God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. He put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And he said, put your hand back in your bosom. So he put his hand back in his bosom really fast and drew it out of his bosom, and behold, it was restored like the other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. And it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on dry land, and the water which you take from the river will become like blood on dry land. God said to him, what is that you got in your hand? Oh, it's a rod. Watch me use my power through what you have. Bam, comes a snake. Often we want God to do something out there. When I was a kid, there was a show called Love American Style. Only us old people remember that. Anybody remember that? Say amen if you remember that. Okay, how many? Say amen if you never heard it. Okay, it's called YouTube, okay? And it was just, it was a show, kind of clean, but it was all these guys, people were, if I remember correctly, they were match up with each other. But in the preview of the movie, there was a kid, he was like 8 years old, and he was praying next to his bed, and then a girl just falls out of the ceiling right onto his bed. And it's like, obviously he was praying for a girlfriend, right? And so that was, you know, he's a kid, you're like, man, God, does it work like that? No. We want God to do that for us. God, just bring me the miracle. Give me the promotion. Just show me a sign that you're really God. And God says, number one, I don't work that way. Number two, I've already shown you my power. I've already done miracles in your life. How many of y'all are Christians right now? Jesus is your Savior. Just raise your hand really here, okay? God has done more miracles in your life. You probably forgot a lot of them. Your testimony. How many of you, and whether you're saved or not, how many of you right now could easily be in rehab, in jail, or dead. Okay, right. And God saved you. You got in your car one night, drunk as a skunk, and you woke up the next day and have no idea how you got home. You went home with somebody, you didn't know who they were, and you have no idea how things didn't turn out worse than they were. Over and over and over again, God has done amazing things in your life that you, at the time, recognized was God. Yet we still don't believe. So we say, hey, with what you have right now, I can work miracles. We started this church with $20,000. Think about that. $20,000. Now this podium's $20,000. No, it's not really $20,000. This is just like a Kmart special. Don't get me wrong. It ain't nothing special. Trust me. $20,000. And I remember the guy, matter of fact, I'm gonna talk to him today. I'm still in relation with the guy 20-something years later, 30 years later, for that matter. And he gave $20,000. And God said, you ready? I said, that's all I need. Let's go. And he brought another person, another person, another person, another person. If you could be faithful in little, and that little may be, hey, go sign up today. Start serving and find out where your next assignment. I used to do parking lot assignment when I was a youth pastor. My other church, the church before this, I used to park cars. Just be faithful in little. And don't expect, well, you know, I'm the greatest singer, I'm the greatest preacher, and maybe you are. But God doesn't promote talent. He promotes integrity. So be faithful in the little things. Number four, I am not skilled enough. So Jehovah explained his design. The Bible says in chapter 4, verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. People think that maybe he stuttered, whatever. I was just at a revival meeting, a church in Wellspring Church in Palm Springs, had 3 days of revival, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I spoke Thursday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And the guy who spoke the day after me stuttered. He's a pastor of a church. He had 10,000 people at his church. He's now at another church. And you might think, well, you stuttered. You can't have a church. Why not? Why not? When you are weak, and I say weak, kind of like, Lord, I need you, that's when you're strong. When you are self-reliant, you will be weak. Oh, I got this. Oh, really? Oh, really? You got this. He says, the Lord said to him, who made your mouth? Who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth. God doesn't, he's not calling you because of your talent or lack thereof. He's calling you because he chose you. He's calling you because somehow he's seen you, considered you faithful to do what he's called you to do. And God, here's the thing about God. God didn't say, no, Moses, you speak really well. No, I'm really, you're better than you think. He's like, no, you do have slow speech, Moses. You're not really all that eloquent. I have to admit it, you're right. But I wanted you that way. I can't tell you, probably 10 times I've met people, maybe more, where I'll introduce myself, hey, I'm Miles, hey, what do you do? I'm pastor of the Rock Church. And they will say, without skipping a beat, you're the pastor of the Rock Church? I go, yep, that's me. Because they have some, whatever the idea was, this ain't it. And it is, for me, I'm like, oh, yes. God suckered you. Because people have an idea of how God's ways are not our ways, as high as the heavens are the earth, so God's ways are above ours. Amen? Number five, and this last one, Moses' fear, I can't do this alone. Jehovah established a partnership. Verse 13, he said, oh, Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you send. God, Moses said, God, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall say and do. So he shall be a spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. and you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. Moses sent his brother, but Moses still spoke. Moses still obviously spoke to people. But here's the point. You can't do anything by yourself. We can't do this by ourselves. We need you to do whatever God's called you to do. And so for all of y'all on all the campuses, I'm going to pray here in a minute. I pray that God will stir up your heart and give you a desire to say, listen, I want to put my hand up and do something to help us as a church minister to all the people out there who are dying, who are suffering, who are lonely, and who are hopeless. That's what we're here for. Amen? So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And as your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, I want to challenge you. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you're thinking, you know what? I need to do something. I really need to and want to be part of the solution. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you're saying, I think I'm at least going to sign up and I want to investigate where I might serve. Just lift your hands up really high. I want to see those hands. Here, really, really high, really high, really high. Come on, more hands. God, good, good, good. Hundreds of you, all over. Fabulous. All the campuses. God bless you. God bless you. Lord, I pray. We pray for a harvest of workers, a harvest of team members. We cannot do this alone. And the bigger we make the net, the bigger the catch will be. So I pray that you would stir people's hearts and challenge them to go sign up and then show up and let's get this done. But at the same time, there may be people here who need to give their life to you. You believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead for your sin. And you want to give your life to him. Just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, please forgive me of my sin. Please fill me with the Spirit of God. I surrender my life to Jesus. I want to be born all over again. Cleanse me, Lord. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, just slip your hand up really high and see you. God bless 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 you. You can put your hands down. Lord, thank you for all those people. Lord, we pray that hundreds of people on all our campuses would sign up today to serve because you can create a big army. In this church, we can serve the people that you're going to send our way. For the people who raise their hand, in a few minutes, you're going to be asked to come, and we're going to have our prayer team at the stage to pray for you. And anybody else who needs prayer, we're going to be at the stage and all the campuses to pray for you. So, Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.